In today's first reading, we have the call of a prophet, Samuel. We're also this weekend acknowledging one who was a prophet among us, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And I want to propose to you, we are also trying to come to grips with how every one of us is called to be a prophet. For a prophet is one who speaks for God. And God doesn't just call us here to inform us or to entertain us. God brings us here today to put His Word in our heart and our mind so that the Word will also become flesh in us and we will carry that Word to the world, church. Amen? I want to talk to you today on this message. Hush. Somebody's calling my name. I said, hush. Somebody is calling my name. Can you say amen, church? Notice this call of Samuel in the first book of Samuel. And I want you to, first of all, Samuel is going to receive a call. He's going to discover a call from the Lord. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is the place of this discovery. It says here, Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Samuel was a young boy at this time. And it says that he was sleeping. Now, I don't think that means he was sleeping in one of the church pews during the sermon. But Samuel had been brought to the temple by his mother and his father, Elkanah and Hannah. And they were an older couple who had said that if God would allow them to conceive a child, they would bring this child to the temple where he would serve in the cadre of temple workers. And faithful to their commitment to God, they brought their son, who lived among the priests and the Levites and worked among them in the temple even as a young child. There were many young men in training in the temple. And that is where we find young Samuel. He was sleeping in the quarters next to the great sanctuary where the ark of God was. Let me say it again, because it's important not to miss this. Because if you're going to discover God's call, you don't want to miss the place of this call. It says that Samuel was in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Praise the Lord, church. Here we are today. In the temple of the Lord where the ark of God is. That tabernacle up there isn't just some fancy box. We believe our Lord dwells there just like in the ancient temple of old, in the Ark of the Covenant. We're in God's temple today. But again, I want to say to you, how did Samuel get there? Now, parents, pay attention. Grandparents, pay attention. Aunts and uncles, pay attention. Older brothers and sisters, pay attention. Samuel was brought to the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was by his parents, Elkanah and Hannah. Parents, I hope you're dedicated to bringing your children every Sunday to the temple of the Lord where the ark of God is. Because how are your children ever going to hear the voice of God speaking to them like Samuel will, unless you bring them to God? Every now and then, I get a little frustrated. get a little anxious, get a little worked up when I hear a parent talk like this. Well, I don't want to impose religion on my child, and so I don't really bring them to church unless they don't feel like it. I'm getting worked up even as I talk about it. Because you don't think like that when it comes to school. You don't think like that when it comes to going to the doctor or the dentist. Well, God is more important than the doctor or the dentist or the teacher. Don't fail to bring your children to the Lord every Sunday, whether they like it or not. Help them to learn to like it by liking it yourself, all right? Now, even as we acknowledge the call of Samuel and our debt of gratitude to his parents because they brought their child, Samuel, to the Lord so the Lord could hear, or that he could hear the Lord's call, I also now want to turn our attention to another prophet, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I want to publicly thank his parents, Martin Luther King Sr. and Alberta Williams King, that they brought their son Martin faithfully to the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was, so that he could hear the voice of the Lord calling to him, "Martin, Martin." What would have happened had they not done that? Think about it for a minute. Do some of the math. Think of all the historical things that might not have happened had his parents not been faithful to bring him to the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was, so that he could hear God's call. Because you see, we don't just hear God's call willy-nilly. Things prepare us for that. We get used to hearing about God. We get used to hearing the Bible and prayers being said. We become accustomed to listening for God's voice. And so Martin Luther King Jr., as a young man, was brought to the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God is. Let's take a moment and think of the influence that his parents had on him. And as I read this influence, I'm reading from a book in just a moment, but I want you to think of the influence you might be able to have over your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and nephews, your younger brothers and sisters. Again, we're pondering for a moment how important it is for parents to bring their children to the Lord. What I'm about to read from is a book called, interestingly enough, The Autobiography of Martin Luther King. You said Martin Luther King Jr. never wrote an autobiography, and you would be right. But an author some years ago, Claiborne Carson, received permission from Coretta Scott King to examine all the private papers and go through all the library of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And, of course, knowing all of his speeches and his sermons, he had all of those, but he was also given the privilege of going through some of the private reflections and papers. And he wrote a book in the first person where he lets Dr. Martin Luther King speak in his own words. And he simply took all of these different sources and edited them together in a seamless garment of reflections of Dr. Martin Luther King. It's a beautiful work. If you've never purchased it, it's also available in audio form. The Autobiography of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And what I'm about to read is his reflections on the influence that his parents had on him. "My home situation was very congenial. I have a marvelous mother and father. I can hardly remember a time that they ever argued or had any great falling out. These factors were highly significant in determining my religious attitudes. It is quite easy for me to think of a God of love, mainly because I grew up in a family where love was central and where lovely relationships were ever present. Pay attention, parents. All of us who are elders, pay attention. I think, he continues, that my strong determination for justice comes from a very strong and dynamic personality of my father. And I would hope that the gentle aspect of my personality came from my mother, who was very gentle and sweet. My mother, Alberta Williams King, is a very devout person with a deep commitment to the Christian faith. Unlike my father, she is soft-spoken and easygoing. As regards my father, I have rarely met a person more fearful and courageous than my father. The thing I admire most about my dad is his genuine Christian character. He is a man of real integrity. Pay attention, fathers. He is deeply committed to moral and ethical principles. He is conscientious of all of his undertakings. He never hesitates to speak the truth and to speak his mind. As pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, my father wielded great influence in the Negro community and won the respect, perhaps grudging, of the whites in that community. I have never experienced the feeling of not having basic necessities of life. These things were always provided by a father who always put his family first. I joined the church at the age of 5. The church has always been a second home for me. As for me, as far back as I can remember, I was in church every Sunday. My best friends were in Sunday school. And it was the Sunday school that helped me to build the capacity and thirst for justice. Regarding my teachers in Sunday school, none of them ever doubted the infallibility of the Scriptures. Church, you see the roots? Dr. King's call and his ability to hear that call and understand that call didn't come out of nowhere. He was brought to the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God is by his parents. And he continued to associate many, many years, every year of his life, every Sunday of his life in the Christian community. He concludes regarding the reflection on his parents. I guess the influence of my father had a great deal to do with my going into the ministry. My admiration for him was the greatest moving factor. He set forth a noble example that I didn't mind following. I still feel the effects of the noble moral and ethical ideas that I grew up under. They have been a real and precious gift to me, and even in moments of theological doubt, I could never turn away from what my father taught me. Oh, church. Samuel didn't hear the call out of nowhere. He was in the right place among the right people to begin to hear God's call. So was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So are we. And so, if we are faithful, will our children be. But never forget the influence that we are meant to have over one another. So first of all, notice the place of Samuel's call. Secondly, notice the puzzlement of his call. Anyone ever struggle to hear God and understand what he was saying? I'm mindful of the gospel today where the disciples asked Jesus a very straightforward question. Where do you live? Now, go ahead, Jesus. Just give the address. 2801 Capernaum Boulevard or whatever. He doesn't answer like that, does he? He says, come and see. Hello? God can be like that. God sometimes wants us to live our questions. God sometimes wants us to try a few things. God wants us to get used to listening to that still, small, inner voice. And discernment of our call, hearing our call, and what God is asking of us isn't always the easiest thing in the world. And so Samuel struggles with this. In the middle of the night, he hears a call. Ah, he says, Eli is calling me. Eli was the high priest. He went and knocks on Eli's door.
Well, go away. What are you bothering me about? I didn't call you. Go back to bed.
Second time.
Samuel.
I didn't call you. Again, he goes back to Eli.
Go back to bed. Go away.
But the third time. Finally, the third time. He still went to Eli. He was still wrong. But now Eli was in a place that he could help him. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And Samuel is ready now. Because he's been in the right place, among the right people. He's ready now. And the teacher appears. Samuel is going to be told what to do. But before we get to what he's told what to do, let's ponder again this struggle to sometimes understand what God is asking. I went to college to study computer science so I could get married to my girlfriend, raise a family, and make a lot of money and live in a nice house with two cars, cathedral ceilings, and I didn't know it yet, but a plasma screen TV. They hadn't been invented yet. Well, sometimes you don't quite get it right the first time, all right? I did get my computer science degree, but in the end, the Lord has me doing something much more wonderful than sitting in front of a computer screen. I praise God, and I enjoy sitting in front of a computer screen still and doing some creative work. But in the end, the Lord has called me to this. Any of you doing what you went to college to do? Not too many, I'll bet. We sometimes have to listen carefully to God. And we don't always get it right the first time. And even those we come to and ask for advice don't always know what to say. But God is still calling. What should I do? Should I go in this direction or that direction? Should I accept the job or not? I want to once again turn our attention to the prophet we are considering from modern times today, Dr. Martin Luther King. And many of you may be familiar with the story that I'm about to read, but Dr. Martin Luther King also had a middle-of-the-night experience like Samuel. And Dr. King was struggling because, you see, threats had come to his family. And a man who is the head of a family, has a wife, and now his first child, Yolanda, he called Yoki, he struggles now. Because he says, you know, I'm doing something that's bringing in threats and danger. I wonder if I shouldn't, for the sake of my family, just back down. What does God want? Should I go there in that direction, or should I stay the course? Dr. King has to ponder his call. It's not an easy call. There are important things on both sides of the equation. The puzzlement of our call. The puzzlement. And so it is that I want to pick up this book now and read to you his middle of the night experience like Samuel. One night, toward the end of January, I settled into bed late, and after a strenuous day, Coretta had already fallen asleep, and just as I was about to doze off, the telephone rang. Here it was in the middle of the night, and an angry voice said, "Listen, nigger, we've taken all we want from you. Before next week, you'll be sorry you ever came to Montgomery." I hung up, but I couldn't sleep. It seemed that all my fears had come down on me at once. I had reached the saturation point. I got out of bed and I began to walk the floor. I had heard those words before, but for some reason this night it got to me. I turned over and I tried to sleep, but I couldn't sleep. I was frustrated, bewildered. And then I got up. Finally, I went to the kitchen and I heated a pot of coffee. I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting there untouched before me, I tried to think of some way to move out of the picture without appearing to be a coward. And I sat there and I thought about the beautiful little girl who had just been born. I'd come in night after night to see that gentle little smile. I started thinking about my dedicated and loyal wife who was in the next room asleep, and she could be taken from me or I could be taken from her. And I got to the point that I just couldn't take it any longer. I was weak. Something said in me, you can't call on your daddy now, and you can't even call on your mama. You got to call on something in that person of your daddy, something in that person that your daddy used to tell you about. That power that can make a way out of no way. With my head in my hands, I bowed over in the kitchen table, and I prayed aloud. And the words that I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I said, Lord, I'm down here trying to do what is right, and I think I'm right. And I'm here taking a stand for what I believe is right. But Lord, I have to confess I'm weak right now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage. Now I am afraid. And I can't let people see me like this, because if they see me weak and losing my courage, they may begin to get weak. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. But Lord, I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left, and I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. Samuel, Martin. Martin. But then it seemed as though I could hear a quiet voice of inner assurance saying to me, Martin Luther King, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even to the end of the world. Oh, I tell you, I've seen lightning flash and I've heard the thunder roar. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. He promised never to leave me. No, never to leave me alone. At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced him before. Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. And I was ready to face anything. It's not always easy to sort out the call. But if we're in the right place, staying close to the temple of the Lord where the ark of God is, staying close to the church, close to God's word, close to those good old hymns that boost our spirits and inform us and teach us, staying close to the tradition, close to our elders, following the example of those who've gone before us, church, little by little, we begin to hear that voice of God, that still, small voice whispering. Aren't you glad that Dr. King got up that night? Aren't you glad, like Samuel, he went back and forth, but in the end, he knew what God was saying. And so it is that Samuel as well was told by Eli, now listen, the next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Do you ever still your soul long enough? Do you ever just hush so God can call your name? You're in the right place. Most of you are here Sunday after Sunday. I praise God for that. To be in the right place. Hearing God's word Sunday after Sunday. I hope you read it every day. Being taught, encouraged by those who've gone before us, encouraged by our choir, encouraged by our lectors and all who announce this word, preachers. It's all a foundation for you in those midnight hours when you might wonder what God is calling you to do and how you can be a better prophet to your children and your grandchildren. Maybe you're being called to some task that seems to overwhelm you, but somewhere in the midst of all that, if you've been in the right place, you can just hush and let God tell you in the quiet of your heart what He wants you to do. Aren't you glad that Dr. Martin Luther King was obedient? That he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And that he heard it and heeded it and he became a great herald? Church, there's a lot to be grateful for. But church, he's not the only prophet. Samuel's not the only prophet. You're a prophet. I'm a prophet. And it takes courage. Dr. Martin Luther King talked with authority. Someone say amen. The text here regarding Samuel says that when he heard God's voice and said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," the text says from that point on, Samuel grew up in the Lord. The Lord was with him and never permitted any word of his to be without effect. Pay attention, church. Where did Samuel get his authority? Listen to the word authority. Do you hear the word author in authority? How does Samuel preach with authority and with effect? How did Dr. Martin Luther King have authority? He spoke, he preached with authority. It is said in the scripture that the crowd heard Jesus gladly because he spoke with authority. Where does authority come from? And how will you and I speak with authority? Only by knowing the author. You gotta know the author. And when we know the author, I don't care whether you got a college degree. I don't care if you don't have a college degree. If you know the author, you can and will speak with authority. No word of yours or mine will be without effect. My grandmother was a very quiet and humble woman, hardly as bold as I am. Quiet, almost shy. But Nana, we called her, Nana had authority. Because she knew the author. She prayed every day. Never saw a day when Nana didn't have her beads and wasn't praying. She knew the author. So when Nana spoke, it might not have been a long sentence. You know me, I didn't get that from my grandmother. I go on. But my grandmother didn't say a lot. But when she spoke, it was with authority. Because she knew the author. Dr. King knew the author. He wrestled with God in the middle of the night, and God told him what to do, and he never looked back. Someone say, praise the Lord. He spoke with authority. No words of his were ever without their effect. Can someone say amen? Why? He knew the author. To speak with authority means we know the author. You and I are invited to speak with the same authority. You say, well, I'm not as talented as Dr. King. I didn't go to school. It's not about that. It's about knowing the author. So, hush. Somebody is calling my name. Oh, my Lord. My Lord, what shall I do? In other words, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The recipe is clear in that old spiritual. Hush, hear, heed, and you'll become his herald. Get to know the author, like Dr. King did, like Samuel did, like my Nana did. And you will speak with authority. Do you want to speak with authority to your children, to your grandchildren? Get to know the author. Hush. Someone is calling your name. Say to him, oh my Lord, I'm listening. What shall I do? What shall I do? Amen.